The Wasteland. The near future. Movie clerk David Snyder and overlord Immortan Hoof fight to rid the decaying landscape of the cinematic naivety which infests it. After being told that their animation output is lagging, Apocalypse Video is outfitted by Dave with increased cartoon coverage and a computer-enhanced theme song. It has become the ultimate super pod, Robopod.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video Robocast. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Ruler of the Wasteland, and if I'm not mistaken, Chairman of Wasteland Consumer Products, Immortan Hoof.
Hello, Dave. And I have a question for you. I just want to start off this episode with an inquisitive tone. Do you know what's better than $50 million?
$50 billion!
That's right.
Did you cheat? Did you look at my notes? Because that's literally the first thing I have written in my notes.
Well, that's probably the first... That makes sense, because that's literally the first thing they say in the episode.
Well, it was so, okay, so just jumping right in, we're talking about RoboCop, the animated series, the episode entitled No News is Good News. And we opened up with like your typical, you know, action-y scene. There's a guy, is he robbing a bank?
I think so.
Yeah, robbing a bank,
well,
he's got
a hostage.
So basically, we don't know exactly what the situation is, I don't think. It's basically just a hostage situation. And you got, you know, our famous Lieutenant Hedgecock. We all love him. He's outside. We'll give you anything you want, this guy. He said, so not only does he say 50 million, no, 50 billion. He adds some more to requests to his demands. For example, I want my own army, my own country.
Doesn't he say he wants an island?
Don't hurt the girl. We'll give you anything you want.
I want 50 million. No, make that 50 billion bucks. I want my own army, my own country, and a big yacht with blue stripes on the sail.
Well, that's fine.
I want an island. This is like one of the funniest hostage negotiation scenes I've ever seen in anything.
And Hedgecock is like, yeah, we'll get that to you.
Yeah, he's heard it all, but now he's just like, ah, oh, shit, I haven't heard that. My own country! I laughed. Like, I had that in bold and in all caps in my notes. My own country! I just thought that was so ridiculous and like... like, I'm starting to love this cartoon, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it, I don't think I've, we've said this before, this show really encapsulates all of the... cliches and tropes of 80s cartoons, like kids, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. And I'm starting to realize I don't think I ever really watched 80s cartoons growing up. Like my only memory, I'm sure they're certainly around. And I feel like the closest I got was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because that was kind of a carryover. That show didn't end until like, what, the early mid 90s.
Right.
But I feel like that's the closest I got to like this type of kids animation, like this sensibility and this humor and this animation style, because like, honestly, like my only memories of cartoons, like the ones that I really dug, were Batman, the animated series and stuff like the Animaniacs. Like, I feel like I sort of missed this generation of cartoons, and it's kind of a loss for me, because it's just like, it's like a shame, because like this is really fun stuff, and I'm starting to really understand why these cartoons were so big at the time, like this sensibility of cartoons.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because I was thinking kind of something similar in the fact that this cartoon really, if you told me there was a RoboCop cartoon, I know. It sounds kind of lame. Like, what can you do with that? There's not really super villains or anything like that in RoboCop.
Oh. So I was literally had the opposite reaction right there. Like, I know there was a RoboCop cartoon. You don't like it.
Well, I wouldn't, because I didn't watch RoboCop when I was a kid. I wasn't like you. I lived in a more protected childhood.
And I was somewhat more adorable than you, David.
My parents cared about what I watched. So it was a little different. So
I'm the one who did not turn into a ruler overlord. How's that work?
Yeah. What does psychology say about psychology? But I was thinking, going into the show, I'm like, I don't really, and there's no wonder that there's only 12 episodes, because you can only do so much with a RoboCop cartoon because it's for kids.
Admittedly.
And I think this episode in particular marks a point where it's just like, they're really, I think this is one of the most interesting episodes that we're going to cover, because they've really gone into this area that's like, if I was a kid, I would hate this episode because I think it's so boring. But as an adult, this is like this. I don't know. We'll talk about how weird this episode is, but I think that this is a turning point in the series, I think.
You know what? I think you're onto something, and I can pinpoint the exact location of this episode, or the exact time in this episode where I had the exact same thought, but we'll get there. So basically, you know, like we said, this opens up with a standard, standard hostage situation, you know, but like a standard, like, cop thing. And what I love about this, it just further reinforces the fact that RoboCop really loves to bust through walls. Like, he does it all the time. So much so in this episode, Lewis sets him up to bust through a wall.
Yeah, that's part like of their plan. Like,
it's part of their plan. He's just like, all right, Ed, you'll do your bust through the wall move and we'll get him. It's just, it's like, I just love that she clearly sets him up for this move. Like, it's his trademark move. And I fucking love it. It's one of my, when this happened, I was dying laughing.
Sweet Louise.
Yeah, his arm comes out of nowhere. And like, at this point, I remember we talked about this before, and he was like, he seems to do this a lot. And
it's just his move.
Yeah, it's his MO. We're used to it. And it's just like, they have this probably on like a strategy board or something back at the home base.
But anyway, he apprehends the guy. He does another signature move where he lifts people up and then lifts them down again, or brings them down again. He just loves lifting people up in the air. They're just like, yeah, right? And then just sets them down again.
I
just
think
to exert his power.
We're getting glimpses of that. He really gets off on his own strength.
I think so. I think that must be why he loves breaking through walls so much. Either that or the writers of the show love his strength. I don't know. It's
like, I don't know. Maybe RoboCop is an egomaniac.
You know what? I kind of think that'll come into play when we talk about the next episode.
Ah, okay.
But anyway, so he apprehends the suspect. All's good. and this is where the meat of the episode comes into play. So we cut to KRUD, and we're looking. we're in like the CEO's office, or whoever, the branch station manager, whatever you want to call him. Your typical, like, he's drawn like a typical, like, you know, CEO guy, like this fat balding guy that he talks like this, rah! You know, he throws things a lot, kind of some cliche moments, and I love them all. But he's watching the news report of Media Break, their rival station, and the Media Break's reporting on RoboCop's bust. Oh, RoboCop's a hero, isn't it great? And the station manager's just like, what the fuck? What do we got going? He switches channels to his station, KRUD, and it's this Geraldo Rivera-looking motherfucker called Julio Solara talking about puppy peril. That's right. Sometimes puppies nip small children. You gotta watch out for it. It's perilous.
Now that's great coverage. Let's see how my people handle it.
Because the real danger to our society is the puppy peril.
Huh?
Yes, pet shop owners are conspiring to cover up the truth that puppies sometimes nip small children. Sure, this puppy seems harmless, but potentially dangerous puppy nips cost parents countless dollars every year in Band-Aid costs.
Ugh.
And so naturally, he sees this reporting, and it's just like, surely he knows what's being reported on in his own station, right? It's not like he doesn't know. Like, don't they have to submit these stories? But again, this is a cartoon. I'll look, you know, whatever.
He's got to eat those donuts, Dave.
Yeah, he's just eating donuts. That's all he does. He runs a station and he eats donuts. That's all this guy does. But naturally, he sees this story. Media Break's, like, getting the one up on him, getting all the good stories. KRUD's ratings are tanking. So he brings in Geraldo. We're not going to call him Julio Solara. It's Geraldo Rivera. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's fucking Geraldo. Looks just like him. Brings him in. He's like, you need to get some good fucking stories or you're out. And so now we come to the real meat of this story. That's right. Getting back to the moment that I pinpointed exactly what you were referencing earlier, like when this show kind of takes like a turn. I had this thought. when he is like chewing this guy out for shitty ratings and he throws Geraldo out of his office, but not before throwing some donuts on the wall in a comical manner. It's at this moment when those donuts splattered against the wall. He's like, get some ratings or get the fuck out. And he closes the door. This is the moment where I was just like, if I were a kid, I would be like, huh, what's going on? Where's RoboCop? You know what I mean? This is the moment where I'm just like, this is something that only adults can enjoy.
Yeah, it's like, what are ratings? When you're a kid, do you even know what that is?
Yeah, you don't know what that is as a kid. If I'm watching this as a kid, this is all going over my head.
I can't believe that when this is happening, I'm like, is this going to be the episode? Like, there can't... I'm thinking that, like, Geraldo is going to become, like, a villain or something like that.
That's what would happen, you would think, in a normal cartoon or like another 80s cartoon like this, but the writers are doing something different here. They're like, listen, like, we're still laughing our asses off about that embarrassment that Geraldo Rivera suffered when he stupidly said, oh, I got the location of Al Capone's vault, come in, and it was nothing. They were still like, the country was still, you know, talking about it. It's like, man, that Geraldo's a real jackass, isn't he? So the writers clearly had like an idea for what this story wanted to be. So they're like, let's do that, but put it in our cartoon. So basically, that's when the real story comes into play here in this episode. Basically, Geraldo, in an effort to boost his station's ratings, he decides to manipulate some previous footage, the footage before where RoboCop apprehends the guy with the hostage. He's going to manipulate the footage, and this is a little weird. He manipulates it so that it looks like the hostage is scared of RoboCop, I guess, is all he does.
I think what they were going for was that RoboCop endangered the hostage.
But that's not how he edited it. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
No,
but
he edits it so basically, like, he crashes through the wall, and he threatens the woman before she's safe, something like that.
Oh, because I kind of just kind of, when I looked at it felt. Well, how I interpreted it, basically, like, he busts through the wall, he apprehends the guy, lifts him up, and then it cuts to the girl going, oh, that's about it. It kind of came off like RoboCop apprehended the guy, lifted him up, and she was just scared at, like, his brute strength and the fact that a robot just burst through the wall. Like,
so
that's kind of all it
looked
like.
Has a really bad editor.
He does. Yeah, this guy is bad everything. He turns out to be a bad cameraman, a bad driver, a bad helicopter pilot.
Geraldo forces this. He's not a pilot.
And to be fair, this guy is not a pilot. He is not a licensed pilot. But Geraldo just makes this guy do everything. So I can't really fault the guy. He's trying to do his job. His boss sucks. What could you do?
Yeah.
We've all been there. Our boss has forced us to pilot a helicopter. We've all been there.
There was a really funny line when the CEO or the manager is chewing out Geraldo. And it was like, our ratings are going through the tank. It can't get any worse unless it goes into fractions.
And again, if I'm a kid, watch this. I'm like, what does this mean? What are they talking about?
Yeah. So there's a really, really fascinating line that I wrote down. Verbatim, because I wanted, and so when Geraldo comes up with a scheme to edit to make RoboCop look bad, that's basically what he's doing. He's just trying to make RoboCop look bad, like maybe he's dangerous or something like that. So
he's also trying to get a scoop too. Like, he's following RoboCop around, desperate to try to get like a scoop on RoboCop.
Yeah, I start getting heavy Nightcrawler vibes.
Oh yeah, this is decades before Nightcrawler. Eat your heart out, Nightcrawler. Like, this did it first.
For sure. I think now that I saw this episode, I remember seeing this title in the credits of Nightcrawler saying inspired by. But when Geraldo decides to make this this plan or whatever, he starts editing. He's like, oh, we're going to edit it. And then he says it's easier for them than finding out the truth on their own. And I'm like, That just sounded so nefarious to me. Like, and as a kid, you probably wouldn't understand it at all, or it would be so boring. No. But as an adult, I'm like, this is, in light of some of our news sources that are out there, I'm just like, maybe this has been said in real life.
Okay, freeze it there, Beerbomb.
Perfect. But boss, is it right to make RoboCop look so dangerous?
You heard the boss, Beerbomb. We need ratings. RoboCop is big and scary looking. Now, if we handle that right, it'll add up to monster ratings. It's easier for them than finding out the truth on their own.
Oh.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like this is as silly as it can get. This is honestly I think we said before another, like on the Brotherhood, for instance, like any message that they were trying to do kind of got overwritten by the silliness of the episode. This one, it's still silly, granted, but like I feel like they're a lot more focused with the point they're trying to make in this episode.
Oh, as yeah, far as, totally.
Like news outlets.
I think this is a legit episode.
Like, yes, I agree.
It's almost like if you're a kid, you would hate this episode. This would probably be the worst episode of all time. But
well, I don't know. I would. I mean, if I
well,
were
there
a
is
kid,
a cool tank, and that
yes,
and that's that kind of brings me to my next point. I'm like, they're full on talking about government defense contracts, which I guess they have before, but for some reason it stood out to me more this time.
Maybe you can answer me a question. That kind of gets into the second part of this episode, the fact that there's like a runaway computer-controlled tank called the AW-7. So was this tank the property of OCP or some other company?
I'm not clear. I think it was Omnicorp.
Okay, because I was under the impression, because like, I feel like I seem to remember you see it like in a company called Axis something or other. So, like, I was trying to, think, is this some other rival company? Because also, like, another thing that happens in this episode, Dr. McNamara gets all pissed off. He's always pissed off at RoboCop for stealing the spotlight, but he's also pissed off now that, this is where I was confused. Like, I kind of interpreted it that OCP was, like, buying this tank from some other company in favor of... Dr. McNamara's Ed-209s. That's kind of how I read it. Like that. This is the part where I was a little confused during this.
Yeah, episode. The episode's not written as clearly as it could be when it comes to this little thing. But basically,
yeah.
the government was deciding between what's the tank's name? AW-7.
Yeah,
AW-7 and Ed-209, and Ed-209 loses. But this is something that I think is really interesting because it's like it's an aspect of Dr. McNamara's life. Like another competition that doesn't involve RoboCop at all, but for some reason it's getting attention. And then so, like you're going to explain, Rick, McNamara goes and tries to sabotage the tank, which I just think is interesting. Like he's just going to war against some random other. Like I just thought that was interesting that the episode.
That's
going,
how I interpreted it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, I don't know. We're seeing a side of, like McNamara's doing evil crap that doesn't involve RoboCop. So I thought that was interesting.
It was interesting, like, I'm wondering, like, because, like, it's not really expanded upon, like, I'm wondering, because I think the only time we see him again is when he's just like, yeah, this is better than I thought, like, RoboCop's gonna get killed too, this is awesome, it's, and then I don't think you see him again, so, like, really, I feel like this almost could have been cut out of the episode.
I don't know. Well, we need some explanation for the tank going.
Well,
to
no,
Earth.
It could have just. I don't. But that's the thing. When McNamara goes in to fuck with this AW-7, this computer controlled robot, it seems like it. Like he jumps into the hatch, he puts his thing on, to make it kill. But like, doesn't it turn on by itself? He's like, oh shit! He runs out.
Yeah, all of a sudden it starts turning on.
Since its onboard computer helps it identify enemy targets, I'll simply reprogram it so that during its test tomorrow, it'll think it's surrounded by enemies. It's not supposed to start yet. It's sealing itself off so no one else can reprogram it.
So I thought it was kind of weird because I'm just like,
oh,
so
yeah.
Like, this just happened anyway? I don't think McNamara was needed in this episode.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about
it. It could have just turned on its own. It's a computer controlled thing.
Yeah, the tank was messed up already.
Exactly. So like McNamara is not needed in this episode at all.
Yeah. So
that was another thing I was a little like weirded out on. I'm just like, so wait, he didn't. I mean, he put a little device on it, granted.
I think he turned it on, but then he didn't. But then it just went berserk. So
it just went berserk anyway. So I was just like,
so
why is
he
even
here? You need someone to turn it on.
I guess. But this could have been a thing where like it just like they were like doing tests on it. Or...
Yeah, you could have even had like the goofy like idea where it's like it's raining and the raining.
Exactly.
It causes a spark and then the tank malfunctions or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
But okay. So that so the tank goes a berserk and then that's kind of becomes the villain that RoboCop fights.
Yeah, and did you notice, maybe this is just me, but I thought that when the AW-7 starts speaking, like, priority target, robot, or destroy, didn't it sound a lot like Gozer, the Gozerian from Ghostbusters?
Oh.
It sounded just like that.
Find and destroy enemy.
Yeah, I was thinking, so you didn't watch Dragon Ball Z, but there's a character named Frieza, and in the English dub, that's who I was reminded of. It's kind of got this, like, a little bit female raspy voice.
Yes. Whatever. Yes. So, I immediately heard Gozer.
Oh, okay. I heard Frieza, so I heard cartoons, you heard pop culture canon, so it tells us where we come from. But so the tank goes berserk, and kind of becomes the villain that RoboCop has to fight. And then this other thing happens where they're like, RoboCop brings in Geraldo's in the police station trying to get more scoops or whatever, and RoboCop brings in two criminals, or alleged criminals or whatever, and he puts them on the desk and says, like, book them for breaking and entering or whatever. And this part is crazy to me. So just a couple episodes back, we had RoboCop get lectured when he wants to go off, when he says, oh, I don't need a partner. He gets lectured by the chief and says, oh, you got to have a partner, you know, that's standard operating procedure or whatever. And then, so I'm like, hold up, because when the tank goes berserk, RoboCop's like, I'm on it or whatever. So he runs, and then Lewis goes to follow him, and then the chief interrupts him. And he says, you got to do this paperwork. And I'm like, okay, so before it was so important to have a partner. Now you're willing to break that up to do some paperwork. And it's because the chief is like, you got to get that conviction. And I'm like, what is happening here?
Maybe they were so behind. I mean, this is something we never see RoboCop doing, paperwork.
Yeah, RoboCop,
he leaves that shit to his partner.
He's too busy flexing his muscles, breaking through walls, picking people up.
Yeah, he brings these two guys for breaking and entering in. They're literally like he's like carrying them like lumps like of like flour or something. Just flump, flump. He just like throws them on the fucking table on their asses. Just flump, flump.
I just thought it was so fascinating that they just established this rule a couple episodes ago that where you got to have a partner, and then he's like, no, you don't need a partner. Your partner needs to be paperwork.
You're a fucking robot. What do you need a partner for?
And then they put the emphasis on that they need to get a conviction. So they're like, they're throwing in this idea of due process out. I don't know. It's just like, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, this is so funny and weird.
I gotta imagine, like, RoboCop doesn't do paperwork. He can probably just, like, digitally upload it. He sticks his data spike into something. He's like, boom, there's my paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to writing those kind of reports, because I did security before in one of my past lives, you would have, like, a template where you kind of fill in the blanks, and then the other stuff is kind of auto-generated. So you could easily, you could incorporate some machine learning and stuff like that, and you can have the RoboCop generate the report on its own.
Well, plus he can record everything. So it's he can record the entire arrest and be like, boom, there's your evidence. I'm out.
Okay, so that happens, which I just thought was bonkers.
I'm going down to Sharky's Diner for a hot dog.
And then cut to this kid skateboarding, which I think it's really important that we mention that the kid is not wearing a helmet.
He's not wearing a helmet, but this kid does appear to be wearing red wrestler's boots. Did I misinterpret that?
Okay, I think that's weird that you noticed the boots. I noticed no helmet. Like, that's just... Like, as in a kid's cartoon, I guess that's very 80s that they wouldn't put a helmet on the kid. But, like, that just stood out to me. I'm like, okay, this is a kid's cartoon. Of all the places you're going to show a kid you wearing a helmet, like, this is the place to do it.
And so, I love this kid's introduction. He glides in on a skateboard saying, sidewalk surfer. Yeah, baby. This is so 80s right here.
Okay, and then we get to the most, I don't know what it is, the most exclamation point of this whole episode. So Geraldo and his cameraman are watching this tank go berserk, and this kid is skateboarding, and I think, does he trip and fall first, or is he just skateboarding in towards the tank?
I can't remember. I feel like the tank is definitely blowing up buildings, misinterpreting them as enemies. And I can't remember if it blows something up and the rubble causes the kid to, like, trip or fall or something. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Somehow the kid's on the ground, like,
So the kid is in danger. RoboCop has to save him. And Geraldo says, don't save him. They have a chance to save him. But they
need the scoop.
Yeah, we need the scoop. They got he's willing to let this kid die to get the scoop.
You're right. This guy is truly bonkers. One of the most evil characters we've seen thus far in this show.
And this is real evil. Like, this is the evil that you would happen in real life. Like, this is full on Nightcrawler. And it's just what is happening in this episode that we're going to let this kid die so this news guy can get a scoop? Like, I can't believe what we're watching.
And he actually, this time, I think he does a good job of editing the footage. Like, so he edits the footage to make it look like RoboCop pulls up, the tank blows up a building, and then RoboCop just drives away. He makes it look like RoboCop's like, fuck this, and drives away. Like, this one is actually ingenious editing. He does a good job with this one.
Oh my god, yeah.
What exactly are they programming RoboCop to do? Run away? You know, like, this is good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So that happens. So, I mean, there's just layers on layers on layers of this episode, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't believe this episode. so then we get this news kind of news investigation about RoboCop or whatever. And it's the news anchor interviewing. And I just love that they bring in Dr. McNamara as like the witness. And I'm like Fox News, like they are bringing in like an official, like, you know, quote unquote doctor to testify or like just explain what's going on. And I love that they put this much thought into it. Like, is it just me or is like this episode like extra on point?
No, it is thoroughly on point. Like, I don't want to say decades before, because I'm sure this was, I mean, obviously this shit was happening at the time. This is kind of like the birth of like the 24-hour news cycle, right?
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about like the details they put into this episode, like going and having like a professional kind of testify to do this. Like, again, as a kid, you'd be like, why are we watching this? I would have turned that. I would have changed it already. I would have, or been playing full on with my toys or something like that. But, but yeah. And so, let's see. Oh, so then the tank is in the park. So they're fighting, the tank is fighting, the police and then, RoboCop. Well, RoboCop's part of the police, but the Hedgecock's team is there too. And they're all fighting or whatever. And I love this line that one of them says. He's like, he's swatting the SWAT team like bugs. It's like, that's so stupid.
I had that line written down better.
And then this really cool part happens. This is more appealing to my robot loving side, but all of a sudden the tank gets wings, or it unfolds wings and it can fly now. And I'm like, oh, cool, level up.
I had that same thought. It's like, oh, okay, I guess it flies. Awesome.
Locate and destroy.
They fly now. Oh, you know, there's one thing we skipped over. You know what? If this had been expanded on, this could have been, I think, reason enough to justify McNamara's inclusion in this episode. But when he's on Geraldo's show, he basically suggests that RoboCop's human side can no longer handle the machine side, and he's going insane. Like, that, I mean, I guess if they had gone in a different direction, that could have been like a subplot in this episode where RoboCop is like doubting himself.
Mm. Well, we got that before.
That's true. Yeah, good point. But I think it kind of goes into what you were saying earlier, where it's just like, yeah, some asshole comes on Fox News and starts spouting awesome shit, and that's kind of all it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the next, you know, whatever. We have five more episodes, I think. So if the writing gets better, or maybe it's just this team or whatever, but this episode just seems to have given, like, I would have loved whoever wrote this episode, because I looked before and it wasn't anyone who made, like, Blade or something like that. So I didn't give them a shout out, but... But if this team had written that other episode, I forget which one it was, but where his kind of like human or his machine side takes over or whatever, then maybe it's just his team could have done a better job, made it this kind of episode.
That would have been a, I feel like that would have, yeah, you know what? That would have been the direction that they would have taken previously. But this one, like you said, this one's trying to say something. And I think that it's actually, in retrospect, I think it's actually good that they don't expand on that. Because, again, it's baseless. It's just this dipshit going on Fox News saying, like, I think he's going insane. That's what I think. You know, and I'm a doctor. Look at me. I got metal hands. You know, so it's...
I have metal hands. We never really discussed that before, but are his hands metal or are those gloves?
I feel like they're metal hands. They have to be. It's an 80s cartoon. Those are metal hands.
Yeah. Some guy's got a robot dog, so for sure they're
exactly,
metal hands.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, just real quickly, we got to mention how RoboCop actually defeats the tank. He punches it.
Yes, I love. He jumps on the tank, the hatch, rips it open because it's about to run over Lewis. And he has this great line where he's just like, "The fastest way to reprogram is like this," and he just punches it.
Oh my god!
Got to get the hatch open. Get in and stop it. Fastest way to reprogram is like this.
And you know what? Like, when we were watching this, I had to rewind it a little bit because I didn't really understand what he said at the end. The fastest way to reprogram is, and I couldn't really understand what he said. I had to rewind it a couple times, but it is this, and he just punches it. And I'm just like, now, we are definitely inside an 80s cartoon.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm surprised you rewinded it because, I mean, I get that because I'm like, oh, did I miss something? But no,
I missed it at first.
He really just says, oh,
This.
Oh my god, so dumb.
But kind of brilliant.
Yeah, for sure. And I did want to get, I saw something that maybe, I don't know if you picked this up. I don't know if you saw either of the movies, but there's the original Ghost in the Shell and then there's that remake. They have a very similar moment actually where the protagonist is trying to tear this thing off the tank, and it was almost the same exact thing that RoboCop was doing when he was sitting on that tank. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Punching it.
I wonder which one came first. I think this episode was at the end of 88, so I'm trying to remember which one came first, but it's like very similar. So if you ever wanted to see like I don't know which one came first, but I thought that was interesting. But yeah, he just punches the tank and he says this. That's just crazy. And then,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so then I forget how it happens, but Lewis is like on the ground or something like that. And RoboCop comes over and I'm like, oh my God. So this writing team is not perfect. So he's like, are you all right? And then Lewis is like, I am now. I'm like, oh my God. I almost punched my TV.
Thanks, partner.
Are you all right?
I am now.
Basically, they're suggesting that Lewis wants to fuck RoboCop.
Well, I think we know that, but like, of this one is like, okay, cut scene.
She is in love with RoboCop.
Yeah, this one confirms it.
And to be honest, I think she's more in love with RoboCop's machine side than his human side. Like, she seems to really love him breaking through walls, his robot strength. Like, she seems really attracted to that.
Oh my god, can you imagine their like foreplay and like them in the bedroom? And this is like, oh, RoboCop, break the bed.
Slap me, Murphy. Oh yes.
God.
Like, slaps her through a wall, like, oh, that was great.
All right, this episode is not for kids. Talking about our episode.
Speaking of kids, so I don't know if we ever get a name. I think he's just Skateboard Kid, essentially.
No, they say the name. I knew I should have written it down. It was like Danny Collins or something like that. But
they give him a full name?
Yeah, they give him a full name because when... what's the legit news's name? Or I don't know if they're legit. Media Break. They say, thanks to so-and-so, and they say his full name.
They give his full name. So he sees the report that Geraldo plays with RoboCop supposedly running off from the AW7. He's like, that's not how it happened. And like, he's got like this video camera under his bed. And I love it. He goes like, I'm in business now. the news reporter business. And he basically films the thing and he gives it to Media Break. And I was honestly expecting, again, this would have been like a typical tropey scene when, like, the next thing that happens after this, like, after Robocop defeats the tank, it's like a press conference and you see, like, some guy, like, you know, like, mash the kid's head, you know, like his hair, like, thanks to little Jimmy here. You know, I was expecting a full on scene like that. But thankfully, we don't get it. Media Break just exposes Geraldo. And again, like, another thing, I was expecting Geraldo to be, like, working, like another, like, a wah, wah, wah kind of moment where he's, like, reporting on, like, kitten peril or something like that. Like, I was expecting an epilogue with Geraldo there.
Well, okay, so we get a couple things. I have three more things I need to say. So, before we get the kid saving the day with the real footage, Geraldo tries to put out this fake footage, or this botched footage, right? The thing is, I don't know if you caught this, but... So the botched footage includes Robocop knocking Geraldo out of the way. And so Geraldo makes it look like, oh, he just did it out of nowhere. He's
police brutality.
Police brutality. But the thing is, so it shows Robocop knock Geraldo out and then it cuts. And then we get a cutscene to the cameraman filming Geraldo. And so it's like, okay, so where is this footage coming from? It doesn't make any sense. So if you watch this episode and you look at this part, it's the cameraman should have been the footage we're seeing, but we're seeing footage of the cameraman filming Geraldo exactly. Getting knocked out. And so it's like, it makes, like, this is, I don't know, I'm sure it's just due to laziness and time constraints and stuff, but I'm busting up laughing, like, this is out of control. And then another thing that they make sure that we know, the military will still use the tank.
I love that. They're like, well, it could blow shit up. Yeah, let's use it.
It might malfunction once in a while, but we'll still use it. I'm like, oh my God. This commentary is thick. I'm drowning in it and I love it. okay. So you were talking about like an epilogue or something for Geraldo, but
we get a very special ending instead.
Yeah, the donut eating CEO or manager, he sees Media Break like debunk Geraldo's reporting. He comes in and he's like, this is your last whatever, and or Geraldo says, I'm signing off, and he's like, yeah, you're right, you are signing off. And then I'm pretty sure it's safe to assume that he just punched Geraldo.
This is Julio Salera signing off with another of my famous hard-hitting action reports from Station KRUD.
You can say that again, you little worm. This is what I think of you and your phony baloney reporting. You're fired.
Like, did you read that too?
Or at least threw another donut at him, I think.
Because this is like full-on workplace violence. Like, I just can't, like, it ends with him punching the camera, us. Like, so I'm just like, okay, this episode just ended with workplace violence. So I don't know. I guess that's the end.
It's a very topical episode.
Oh my God. There's just so
no,
much.
No, that's not the end. We get a very special ending where Robocop fixes the kid's skateboard.
Again.
Yeah, he fixes it earlier by just kind of like bending it upward. And I'm just like, I don't think that would be structurally stable. I feel like I could see the kid jumping on it to go flying around, you know, skateboard, yeah, baby, or whatever, and it just breaking on him, like right in the center.
Dave, they go out of their way to say, I've improved the aerodynamics by 18%.
But it's compromised. Come on. It was bent, and he just kind of went kick and snapped it back up. Like, the next time that kid jumps on that skateboard, it's breaking.
Well, we saw that it broke again, so maybe you're onto something.
But it just ends with the little doop doop beep boop boop beep, and he just like is kind of like bending it like it's like a rubber band or something, like bzz, bzz, bzz.
Yeah. What an episode, man. I can't believe this is a real episode. Like,
this episode had everything. It had a little bit of everything. It had like the social commentary really biting. It referenced the whole Geraldo Al Capone thing. It had like those tropes, you know, with the kid, the special ending. And action. It had action too. So it had a little bit of everything. Like,
that
so
was
honestly,
a
kid's
going to
be phasing out a lot of this episode. But like the action that's here is pretty legit, I thought.
Yeah, the tank was cool. Like, that was legit. Yeah, and then when the tank grows wings, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, it was cool. But yeah, this episode has everything. It's legit. Like, it's smart. It's they say a lot. There's a lot of bonker stuff that happens. I'm just like, I was not expecting this episode. It came out of nowhere.
And honestly, like, when we saw when the title popped up at the beginning, "No news is good news," I'm just like, is this going to be like a crappy episode? Like, honestly, that title like didn't really do much for me. Initially, I was just like, oh no, this is going to be a lame one, isn't it? But quite the contrary, it turned out to be like one of the better episodes we've seen so far. Like,
for sure. So I've loved The Hot Seat. That was my previous favorite, but I think this has got tops it. Like, this is a if you're a kid, I would not recommend this episode.
No, no.
But so,
well, if you're a kid, I would not recommend this podcast. Frankly,
yeah. If you're tell your mother you've been listening to this and then wash your ears out.
To me, this is like top three so far. This is up there with Brotherhood and Man in the Iron Suit. This is good shit.
Yeah, for it's top three for me too. So this one, Hot Seat, and then you like Brotherhood a lot more than I did. I think that
just because it was so stupid, and the idea of like the guy going like, "Yeah, Cro-Magnon man times; those were better times." Like that just that floored me.
Yeah, that was funny. But I think Man in the Iron Suit has probably the most violent, I think. So that's probably
the action one.
Yeah. So,
and also, like I said, that one holds a special place in my heart because that was like the one and only episode of this TV series I saw as a kid. I had a videotape.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So that one had a nostalgic pull for me as well.
Yeah.
All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Apocalypse Video Robopod. We'll be back next time with Night of the Archer.
Folks, the AW7 is wreaking terrible destruction. To make matters worse, RoboCop is leading it through the city. Now you, the people of old Detroit, are in real danger.
That's a lie! Somebody's got to tell the truth about RoboCop. Now, where's that video camera I got for Christmas? I'm in business now, the news reporter business.